Fuerte, que tenía Coachy and the Elder Bit Lumps. Brendan O'Davna and Shaw Highland Radio, thank you for that little bit of punctuating there. Donald McCrory of Radio na Gaeltachta told me I had to get a bit of lumps in the mix there. Joe Dex is with me here, is a bit of a Askeliga expert as well. Gormay Huggett, Nua Atame, me cart. I tell you what, fair play to you, Donald. Thanks a mil. Hey, and I know you like the show and listen in. So if you want to give me a few lessons, hey, I'll take them because they are needed badly. Folks, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Coming up this evening's show shortly, we're going to hear from our own top GA pundit, Brendan Kilcoyne, and Radio Kerry's Tim Moynihan. We're going to talk about, of course, the reaction to Donegal's brilliant victory away to Kerry in the championship at the weekend that we were down at. Well done to all the lads and everyone who travelled and supported the team. We'll also get a bit of reaction from Minor manager Carol Lacey after a very tough defeat, 1 point defeat to Derry in the Ulster Championship semi-final. The man who got that interview is Michael McMullen. He will be joining me later in the show. We're going to discuss all the GAA talking points from the week. Also, Tyrone's victory over Roscommon. I was down at the Hyde yesterday and had a great night in Roscommon Town as well, as you might hear from my voice. So we had a big big bit of crack, a few Tyrone ones were about after it as well. So beautiful day down there. So me and Mal's going to run our eye over that. And of course, look ahead to the likes of Dublin North, Westmeath, Cavan, Armagh, Derry and Monaghan, Mayo. Some cracking games to come up in the championship. Real bit of life back into football with all the new rules and the new format. Just to mention to the our under 20 ladies who had a victory by 4 points, beating Monaghan in the Ulster semi-final at the weekend. They have a final against Tyrone coming up at the start of June. Good luck to them. We wish them all the best in the final. But say, just about an hour and a half ago, I caught up with Brendan and Tim to chat about Derry, chat about Donegal and Kerry. Yes, Tim and Brendan, lads, welcome to the show.
Well, Brendan.
Thank you. Thanks very much, lads.
Thanks so much, Tim, for joining us too. Brendan, the big trip, it was a bit easier coming up the road with the victory there, but the long haul to Kerry.
Long haul down, but lovely place. What a stadium and what an atmosphere down there. Yeah, absolutely fantastic to get to the championship game down there, so it was, yeah.
I took a detour to the Hyde as well, and then we had a big night in Roscommon. Great wee town, by the way, but you can probably hear it. It might have got the best of me today. Tim, tell me, what's the feeling there? Loads of talking points, of course, to get into, but generally, what's the feeling with the Kerry faithful there around the defeat?
Look, down here, and you know, we've a programme on Radio Kerry, Brendan, Kerry Today, and I think the programme was dominated by our last unit. You know as well as I do, Brendan, even your own playing days. It's a religion down here in Kerry, Gaelic football, and, you know, they prize into every sort of detail of the game, and there's huge disappointment. I suppose, look, let's get things in perspective, and I'm in no way trying to take away from Donegal's emphatic victory, but we've been knocked down big time by injuries, Brendan. You know, when I think that, like, to me, Seanie O'Shea, and I think you were up there that day with us as well, you know, in the National League in Ballyshannon, that, look, he nearly took on Donegal in his own. And he's our spiritual leader. And when you're missing some player like that, it'd be no difference to Jason McGee or Hugh McFadden or Michael Murphy being missing from the Donegal setup. That's huge. But outside of that, then you've Tom O'Sullivan, the club player of the year last year, an all-star a few years running. Paul Murphy, his experience. Gavin White is huge. And if you remember that All-Ireland final, Brendan.
Oh, he was unreal. What was wrong with him?
You see, you know, he came back. I don't know. He had a knockback. He had a procedure then. I take it was the leg at the time. But to make a long story short, he's tried to come back and he got a setback again. So you're talking about the last day, 7 players missing. But outside of that, the feeling down here is the players that are getting the opportunity then, they found it very difficult to deal with, as Jim alluded to in the post-match press conference, that, you know, the physicality of the Donegal side, and hats off here, and it's not me trying to do a Yerry Kerry on you. I think, you know, the way the approach by Jim McGuinness to the game, you know, and he said it in the post match. I'm alluding to the post match as well, but you get the sound bites there, that he said he felt in the first 20 minutes of the All Ireland that we blew Donegal away, and that wasn't going to happen again. And if you, remember the last year, Michael Murphy, I think Michael just pressed the switch for the rest of the players, just put on a marker. We're not in our home side. We're here to here in Killarney. We're going to put down a marker. And Kerry tried to match that, Brendan, and we never got to that pace of the physicality. And then, of course, as we know, there's plenty of talking points going in, you know, just before half time. But disappointment here, and, you know, we're now in a situation, Brendan, where we've one chance to stay in the championship, and it all depends on a draw. If you're travelling away from home, it can be very, very difficult. Maybe a chance within the 3 weeks to get a few players back. And the one worry that's here, Brendan, is that, you know, the players, whoever's available, be it Shane Ryan in goals or getting back Joe O'Connor to full fitness, Paddy Clifford, have they have enough games played? And that I thought yesterday of the, or on Saturday, of the two teams, the team at championship pace was Donegal big time. And that's the feeling down here. There's worry. And in Kerry, you're as good as your last game, as you probably heard us in the past. And that's kind of the feeling of disappointment. And look, it's fine to dwell in points about Jim McGuinness encroaching onto the field and what Micheál Burns did. But like outside of that, and even, you know, Ambrose O'Donovan, the 1984 captain, does the co-commentary with me. His disappointment is that we didn't put a hand on Donegal in the second half. And, you know, to capitulate like that, it can be very frustrating to watch.
Yes, yes. Do you know what? Brendan, Tom's right, of course. If we're missing seven players, you know, that changes
of that quality.
Of that quality. I mean, you could say Pat and Kieran Thompson, Shane O'Donnell didn't start, Darrow Boyle, all potentially could, but they're not going to change that team that much. Like, we have, by and large, a very strong team out there. I thought Kerry competed pretty well first half. Now,
absolutely,
particularly midfield as well. You know, the press was causing us problems.
Yeah, they really squeezed up on the kickouts that they did, and you know, I thought they did really well in the on our kickout in particular. They won seven or eight of our kickouts in the first half and played a very smart game. You know, we spoke about during the commentary, Brendan, where they played the wings, they played a lot of ball out into them two boxes in the corner kind of thing, and got a lot of joy from there. And they competed really well, so did. And to me, the first half from both sides was a brilliant, as good a game of championship football as you'd hope to see over for many a year, Brendan. And hugely competitive and great battles all over the field. And Kerry were right in the game, 5 points down at half time with the breeze in the second half. Wasn't an awful lot. Now, obviously, then everything changed with the sending off, and you know, Donegal were just exceptional in the second half, kept the ball. Tim was mentioning, you know, Ambrose been disappointed about them not laying a hand. It was very difficult because Donegal just played keep ball until they created that opening and then punished Kerry because they were a man short. There was 11v10 when Donegal were attacking and vice versa when they were defending. So it was very difficult for Kerry yesterday to do more than that. So it was, but again, it comes back to what Kerry were missing. You know, the players of that caliber are huge. Donegal expected it to be physical yesterday, and they kind of stood up. They didn't take a backward step, and fair play to Donegal for that. You know, they were really, really good. So I think if Kerry can get a few of them back on the pitch, we certainly haven't seen the last of them for the summer.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, listen, there was three goal opportunities in that first half as well. You know, things could have went a bit different. There definitely was, as Brendan said, tactically well set up. Those balls, those diagonal balls into the corner, kind of isolating some of our bigger men, was working well for us, trying to open up. So there was a good bit of method put into the Kerry play around kick-out squeeze, around direct ball inside. And again, that squeeze tackle that they were doing all around the pitch. So it was a very competitive first half. And you wouldn't have known what would have happened in the second half, even with those players missing that you had, Tim.
Yeah, I agree to a certain extent. But I see, and the guy in that pocket, inside that little zone, was the other midfielder. That was Sean O'Brien that came late onto the Kerry starting 15 on Saturday. But we were very predictable. And that's the difference, I thought, genuinely, lads, was the last day that when the likes of Sean O'Brien, now to be fair, players picked him out. I think Paddy Clifford picked him out on occasion. Dermot O'Connor put a couple of balls into him. But he was isolated. Like, if that was on the other side of the field, Donegal were running off the shoulder. And that's the most annoying thing for a Kerry supporter, is that we tend to go lateral at times. In the All-Ireland final, first 20 minutes, and I keep alluding back to it because it worked for us, it was pure pace. And if you don't have pace in the current game, lads, you're in right trouble. And there's something more than that. When we go, like we always, I suppose, compare teams down here, especially the teams that were very successful. But if you go back to the noughties team in Kerry, like I'm talking to guys now. You go to Darrow Shea. And these guys disrupted. Like, if they saw a team getting up momentum, they disrupted. Tomás O'Shea, Dar O'Shea, Tom O'Sullivan, Paul Galvin. These guys knew what to do. And we feel that maybe we haven't enough. I'm not saying the standard of player, but players that live on the edge. And,
Joe O'Connor would do a bit of that, Tim.
A bit is correct. But we probably haven't enough players. Yeah. And there's a way of doing things, lads, and you know, going to the edge. And lads, you know, be it club football, and I might be killed for saying this, lads, but any successful team, you won't win it with a team of nice fellas.
Yes.
And when I say that, is nice fellas inside the line. You can take a few, you know, to finish out games for you, but the guys that go deep know what to do in a situation. And I felt the last day that Donegal have five or six of those players. Now, they were so dominant, you know, we didn't question, they didn't have to do that. But players that can do things inside those white lines, either to read the game, know what you have to do next. And that's the feeling and carrying. You look at young Keith Evans, you know, starting the 40 or going across that half forward line. Keith is relatively new to the Kerry setup, and he's had a massive league, and he added something else to Kerry because he started number 13 or 15 and worked his way out and gave something else. Yeah, this guy was choked up on Saturday by Donegal because the physical, actually, I suppose the conditioning, and I'm complimenting Donegal here now, by the way, lads. All I'm saying is that they had his number marked straight away. And any other day, if he was playing with those players that I'm saying are missing, it was a different scenario. He'd have that freedom. Mm. And I think we had enough of those players to manage the game, stroke to compete with Donegal the last day. And like I say, it's not me. And we mentioned that word, and I'm sure you see it in social media, the Eric Carey thing. And the disappointing thing is, I know you said that 10-11 when you're defending, it's very difficult. You can control. And I was at a county league game here down in Kerry yesterday, out in just beyond Tralee, and it was the exact same way, that team was dominant. They were full of pace, and they really put you to the sword in that final quarter. So it's very difficult now when you lose a player. But we find down here, it's fine. If you let Kerry play football, they destroy you.
Yes,
but the teams of Donegal, the Armaghs of this world, the Tyrones of this world, they won't let you do that. And you know, a lot of fellas yesterday or on Saturday, their number was marked, and marked in a big way. And like, I wouldn't be 100% agreement, and sometimes, or maybe his views on Jim McGuinness, but you have to compliment him on one thing on Saturday. Every guy knew his job, and they put on a marker right from the start. And you know. And the booing thing as well, and Ambrose alluded to it, you know, during the commentary, that's not the Kerry way either. You know, we don't boo a player. Something happened between himself and Dylan Casey in that league final. Fair enough, if the powers that be didn't deal with it, he got a card that day. But Michael Murphy, to me, is a serious footballer. And we fed in, from a support point of view, should that only put the adrenaline flowing in Donegal and Michael Murphy when the guys on the terraces were booing him? Mm. You know, and all I'm saying is those little things all fed into Kerry's play. And Kerry tried to match the physicality early on, but they put on markers, Donegal, and they controlled the game from there in. And I know you'll say it was a good, I feel that we were cheated out of the game as well, lads, because once the player sent off, I thought that second half was going to be brilliant. Just like you said there, lads, that playing with the wind of the second half, Kerry quite capable, they'd probably bring David Clifford in. Probably patrol the arc a lot more, you know, and take a few two-pointers and bring us right back into the game. But suddenly, all the happenings just before half-time, then it was like a procession in the second half for Donegal. But like, they knew they had the game in the box. And like I say, there's so much detail in today's game, lads, and game management. I think players in the past got away with being athletes. Now you must be a good footballer, and your top six inches, you must have a brain for football. And that's the deal. And some fellas are being found out right across the country. I'm not saying here in Kerry, but if you're not thinking or you're at that level, you will be put away quite easily.
Mm. Brendan, you were obviously a top athlete, but also with a great brain. Do you know what Tommy's on about there, about the good guys in the team? A few weeks in, they said unions, when I took them a couple of years ago there, I was assessing the boys and I said, you know what? The Cape of Boys, you are. I'd let you marry my sister.
Yeah.
I said, but I don't need too many of them. I said, I need a few. As Tim was saying in the engine room, as he calls them, is a good word, disruptors.
Yeah.
You know, but Donegal, Tim was saying there, we're so well drilled. everybody, and that's the big thing, me Jim, everybody knows their jobs and they carry it out to a tee, and then they give the balls to the playmakers, and everybody has their roles, carry ball carriers, markers, who's going to be the shooters at the end, particularly like a two-pointer. And I suppose I have to give a special mention to Finn Baroti, because we had a lot of talk about Paddy Clifford, how do you mark him, what do you do? Now, I don't know, was Paddy 100% fit? Obviously, you know, he went off as well, but you've seen that Jim is knocking down all the things that Kerry was good at, and certainly from the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, 100%, Brendan, and, you know, Finbar did an absolutely brilliant job on Paddy. Whether Paddy was fully at it or not is another question, but he did it to the letter of the law, so he did just really in his face all day, made it very difficult.
And without, Brendan, you could see Paddy was saying to Hirshen a good few times, watch, what, but...
There was nothing in it.
He never went too far, he just stood his ground. Yeah. So very intelligent, for a young man like that, not to get caught where he could get sucked into a card and then put himself
big
on the
time, players. Yeah, and McCall likewise on David did an absolutely wonderful job. Yeah. Now, you know, David wasn't getting the supply of ball, and you will not stop David Clifford on a 1v1, Brendan. He's just that good that you won't. He's virtually impossible. But if you stop that supply of ball, you have a chance, so you have. And Brendan, I thought, did really well in that respect too. The young fella came in too. Max Campbell had a huge game for Donegal, and he's... You know, absolutely brilliant player. But going back to Tim's point, you do need to have that kind of, just that mad, they nearly need to be madmen kind of thing, and we've had a couple of them, and, you know, we were certainly, it was a devoid that we had here in St. Junan's for a while and we got a couple in then that certainly, without mentioning any names, without mentioning that. Well, not all the time, there was one or two of them. But, yeah, and, you know, Donegal were tactically spot on it on Saturday, all over the pitch, so they were. And, you know, but, like, football is funny. You know, you go to the first minute of that game, Kerry get up the field, you had the crack going on behind the throw, and Kerry get up the field, and we're within an inch of putting that ball in the net, so they were. Donegal then swiftly moved the ball up to the other side of the field. Kieran Moore does brilliantly to get in, linking up, I think it was with Oisin Gallen, get in behind the Kerry defence, put it in the back of the net. And wee things like that can change the whole complexion of a game, so they can. Yeah. And, you know, Donegal suddenly, yes, that's exactly the kind of start we wanted. Give them the confidence they needed. And they drove on from there and they pushed on from there. I suppose you're looking for concerns, and I mentioned it earlier on, Brendan, Donegal's kick out. You know, we felt that when we saw the three big guys starting, Jason, Michael and Michael starting, that we would be able to rule the airwaves down in Killarney on Saturday. But that wasn't really the case. We struggled, and I think that Kerry showed more cuteness. They were able to get more bodies in around breaking balls than they did in that first half.
Well, they were squeezing up and then immediately turning and running to the ball, and we weren't following them.
We weren't getting there soon enough, so
they
we weren't.
An overload then,
it gave them that sort of front foot possession for periods of the game, so it did in the first half. And only if Donegal had been even a smidgen off it on Saturday, it could have gone the other way.
Mm-hmm. Tim, Donegal's efficiency, you know, I've rarely seen a team had 220 with two wides. You know, it was almost every opportunity, bang, you know, which was again was another dagger into Kerry, and their efficiency was top. Tim, just ask you about Hirshen. Do you think Hirshen should have took control of that game early on? He does like to let things go. Yes. Do you think that maybe played into what happened towards the end? Because he was looking to keep it going, but maybe there was too much tension in this. Maybe he had to say, right, boys, hold on, a couple of carriages going to come out here or something, maybe at the start to lay down the law.
If you think about it, lads, this is the third meeting within, you could say, 5 months, 4 or 5 months between Kerry and Donegal. And like somebody said to me yesterday, I hope it's not going down the road of the rivalry of Kerry and Tyrone, because us to Donegal, you know, we kind of compare them to Galway. We go at football, we play football, and we play it hard. But it's just this, I suppose, when you meet a team so frequent, begin to know each other, then you're going back to last year in the All-Ireland, they're bottling that hurt, Donegal. But going back to Sean Hurst, to me, Sean Hurston is the best referee in the country. And that's genuinely, I've seen him, not just in Kerry games if things went our way. And even I compliment him the last day, because the powers that be definitely sent Sean Hurston to Killarney, because they knew it's going to be a tough game. Two teams, a team coming in with hurt, a team trying to get back on the track to do a back-to-back. They're becoming great rivals, as I've just noted. So if in any other day, if he was blowing the whistle every 4 or 5 minutes, you'd say, geez, he's trigger happy, he's whistle happy, he's destroyed the game. And as you just said, Brendan, he lets a game flow. And look, I think he was expecting that in the first couple of minutes. Look, I remember against Mayo in a championship game in Killarney going back a few years ago, same way, David Moran up against Aidan O'Shea. They had a little bit of a wrestling match, but whoever's refing that day just left it go, and that's where it ended. But I think there was so much tension between these two teams, and maybe a small bit of it from the league final. There's hurt in Kerry as well, but I think from a Donegal point of view, the hurt is a lot more losing the All-Ireland, because a lot of people around the country fancy Donegal to take care of Kerry. It was a huge opportunity with the amount of players, again, that were missing on the Kerry side on the build-up. You know, you were missing the Paul Ganeys of this world. Diarmaid O'Connor was injured right throughout the season. Paddy was injured. And I think they were in a brilliant place, Donegal, to take the scalp of Kerry. But to be fair, that day, tactically, Kerry got it right. But going back to your question, Arie Sean Hurston, there's pros and cons for it. We had a massive first half because he did let things go. But on the same token, I think that element... Now, you can't blame Sean Hurston for the halftime fracas, because the whistle was blown and a guy... There was a bit needling right around the pitch, but you'd say maybe if he issued two cards. I think that wouldn't have even stopped it, because there was serious tension. And as you know as well, as if a referee lets things go, you see it in a club game, you'll test that ref. And I think that's what was done the last day. The sending off, merited a sending off. You know, and there was a number of players coming in, or mentors from either side. So it was very, very messy that halftime. But it actually, whatever happened or whatever transpired, it actually destroyed the game. And as we said at the outset, it promised to be a massive second half. Kerry playing with the wind against a home support. And this is where you have to compliment Donegal as well, lads. I think it was, is it Mayo? That Mayo's the only other team that has beaten us in 28 years in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney of championship. Before that, it was Cork taking us out in a Munster final. So, like, we didn't want to lose that game on Saturday, and we prefer to be going direct route as well. And now we're going into the unknown. So, look, there's pros and cons, but to me, Sean Hurston is the best in the country, and I think that's why he was sent to Killarney. Yes. Because they know there's massive tension between these two teams, massive hurt now. Hurt because we've lost the last, well, two games prior to Saturday, and now it's three, and Donegal losing the All-Ireland. So I think he was down here for a reason, and I think overall he handled it. I'm not sure what your views are. Overall, I think he handled it brilliantly.
Yeah, I think he did. It was a hard one to do, now, Bren.
It was difficult, yeah.
Yeah. Bren, as Tom's saying, there's jeopardy now for Kerry. You know, could, you know, drawn away could be a difficult proposition. You're on the line now all of a sudden. For us going forward, very positive, Brent, particularly after Down. That was back to the real Donegal, very well drilled. We just have this wee bit of a... I mean, Ryan McHugh obviously was horrible to see him, so it was great that he came back on the pitch too.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show, defiance nearly,
It was a nasty, yeah, a nasty incident, and listen, it was a red card, and that's what it's there for. The gym situation now is hanging a bit. Do you think that that's going to... The CCC probably meet today, tomorrow? Whatever.
Yeah, it depends, I suppose, when the referee's report comes in, and they'll have to wait to see what's contained in that.
There wasn't anything in it, but it says if you interfere with a player, but so that means anything. So,
yes, yeah. There's a few ways you can look at it, and it will all depend on what's in the referee's report. If he's mentioned in the referee's report that he's dealt with it at the time, that may be that. And it was a very innocuous little push. Like, I don't think Jeremy Connor is suffering today or yesterday because of it as such, you know. But I think only time will tell, you know, what
Hurston could have given a card or something there.
If Hurston had given a yellow card, maybe that would have done with it then. So I don't know how these things work, Brendan. Yes. Like, we'll just have to wait to see how that plays out. Like, obviously, from a Donegal point of view, you want this to go away kind of thing, you know. But that may not be the case, because it's important, you know. He's a real leader of them lads, so you want him on the line going forward.
There was pretty much nothing in it, but then you don't know how they're going to take it up. Tim, listen, we're pretty much right up in time there. Thanks so much for joining us, Tim. What about, I was on the Hyde yesterday, you might have to go up there next. That would be a raucous game. Wherever you're going next, that's going to be some match.
It is, and it's going to be difficult either way, and it's about getting... As Jack alluded to post-match, about getting bodies back onto the pitch. And, you know, look, Kerry, look, by tradition, lads, we are decent down here, as you well know. There is a possibility. But the hurtful part of this is last year when Meath were beaten by Meath, and I think they just caught us in the hop eye, do you know what I mean? That it suddenly, it changed our whole season. The next, we would often beat four Ulster teams. And, but this year, this beating on Killarney the last day, was different. It was one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country, put us away with relative ease. It was not like, with all due respects to Meath, it was not like Meath beating us. And it really hurt and compounded that maybe, look, you can go to war without all your soldiers. And that's the way it is. And inside those lines, and if you go back and refer back to what we said earlier, lads, it is war inside those white lines. And, you know, the most intelligent leaders down through the centuries, they are the guys that won wars. And on Saturday, it was Jim McGuinness that had that to his mark. So wherever we're going, lads, it's going to be a bit of chaos. There's a huge interest. The immediate thing, lads, is we're trying to keep another Ulster team quiet on Saturday evening, because our under-20s face Tyrone in the All-Ireland under-20 final. Right. But look, having said that, it's about, look, the guys down, the medics and what have you. And the big thing, maybe I might finish on this, Brendan, is that the big thing down here, Jack made a statement, Jack O'Connor, a couple of weeks ago, that he's blaming, a lot of blame is pointed towards our club competitions, because, you know, every other week we have club competitions in Kerry. And now there's divisional championships come the end of the season after the club championship is over and the county championship. And a lot of, I suppose, traditionalists in those areas have kept those divisional championships alive. But Jack was saying his players are playing too much football. Yes. But the thing is, people are questioning here now, they're all getting injured inside in Kerry training rather than play with their clubs. I could name our full-back probably from last season, or he's there this year, Jason Foley. He played three club games last year. So I know he's fit, but he didn't get injured. But the teams that are successful, say they come out and win the junior, intermediate, senior in Kerry, they're the guys that go further. So, you know, I think that's what he was kind of alluding to. But a lot of people are questioning why Kerry have so many injuries at the minute. And, you know, we went to Portugal and we came back and it was like straight to A&E when we came back with players. So they're questioning that. And in Kerry, you don't get a minute to settle. They'll question everything. And that's, I suppose, because of our tradition, our success. So, look, a very interesting couple of weeks, lads. And I have you hot favourites now for the All-Ireland, lads.
Good man yourself, Tim.
Thanks for that, Tim.
Listen,
lovely talking to you, lads.
Tim, great wrap-up. Thanks so much for joining us. That's Tim there from Radio Kerry. Tim Moynihan, thanks very much for that. Brendan Kilcoyne, fair play to you. Thanks for dropping in the studio. Joe Dex for producing that segment. Yeah, mighty stuff from the two boys there. Great wrap-up. Donegal are back on the wagon again. After the break, I will hear a bit from minor manager Carol Lacey after his side's defeat at the weekend, and the man of knowledge, Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. Yes, so unfortunately at the weekend, Donegal Miners lost to lost to Derry by a point, just 10-9 as I'm looking at it here. After the match, Michael McMullen caught up with Carol Lacey.
Carol, I suppose disappointment would be an understatement for that dressing room that you've just stepped out of.
Aye, absolutely. Obviously, like, it'll go by the result and the manner of the results, the last kick of the game. That's disappointing. It's just, isn't it? That's sport, isn't it? And that's what I try to explain to the boys. It's all part of their development. It's all part of their journey. Last week, you're on the other side of it. You won the game, last kick of the game. You're on the other side of it today. So, but listen, I'm immensely proud of them. Couldn't be more prouder in terms of their application all year and today, the honesty and just the resilience in them and the attitude just to keep going and keep going. And just unfortunately they're on the wrong side, but it's, to say, that's sport and they just got to learn.
What did you feel at half time? You're 4-2 up, but from watching the first half you said loads of the ball. Did you feel you should have been further ahead, or what was your sort of take on it?
It was probably very frustrating that obviously, like the way Derry had set up, and it set up very defensively, and their number six, Joey Mullen, sitting in the wee pocket, and we just couldn't penetrate, we couldn't break the lanes, and they were well organised. For an under 17 team defensively, they were well organised, like, so there was a wee bit of a breeze there as well. So we didn't get enough shots away. We didn't have a lot of ball, but we just didn't maximise that. We lost it a couple of times too, a bit of sloppiness and stuff. So when we were getting the shots away, we were very successful on their kick out. And we just didn't get enough of the good shots away. So that was disappointing. Yeah, we were still in a good enough position at half time. So that just didn't happen then.
There was a stage in that second half where it maybe felt like yous were going to be a team. I know there's a lot of it was down to it looked like an extra time type game, but there's a stage when you sort of, well, sort of felt as if you had the sort of ascendancy for a period.
I did. I think we had a couple of opportunities there to get the winning score. So we did, and we got up into good positions. We had a good shot with his right. It just went wide of the post, you know. So it's another day that goes over. You know, it's the margins, and that's what they need to. So we just need to explain to them. Then boys, like, you know, that just it's small margins in the big days, like semi-finals and finals. Sometimes you're on the right side of it, and today we were on the wrong side. So I think we did have good opportunities to push home. I think we've created maybe nearly a look on the goal once or twice. Got a short kick out one time. Nathan McGinley got through. Was going for carrying, and just wee things like that just didn't go our way today.
As we talk now, the seniors are playing in Killarney. Now, there's a lot of young fellas that broke into that senior group. These have come back from the dead a couple of times at minor level. Today's game was a very tight battle. What learning is there for boys who are looking to make that next step? Because as much as it is minor, senior is the big show that I would say somebody like yourself wants boys to push into. Is that what that's learning's about now?
That's what exactly the minor is about, like, and that's what it should be about. And it's about putting mentors in place for these boys, and your good coaches and your strength and conditioning coaches, your nutritionists, your medical, and creating an environment for them to understand that what it takes to be the best that you can be. And that's where they're, and we're trying to facilitate that, and we're trying to get them to fulfill their potential. And there's no question about it, there's plenty of potential in that group, but it's still, you're not handed that senior jersey, you've got to earn it, like, and they still have a wee bit to go in that. They're heading in the right direction. Their application to the environment this year has been brilliant. I've had them now 2 years, now I've had them in under 16 as well, so we just need to keep investing in them in Donegal. We need to keep investing, keep them on their journey.
Yeah, that was Carol Lacey there, disappointed there to go out in that semi-final, chatting to Michael McMullen, and now we can talk to Mal himself. How are you, Mal?
Not too bad, Brenton. How are things?
You're doing all right.
Donegal are back on the horse.
They're back on the horse, boy. Did you ever doubt us? A wee bit?
Well, to be honest, as it says on the radio the other day, I'd fancied Kerry until I heard the raft of changes he's given out over the intercom.
Yeah.
And I went straight into my WhatsApp group, and it says, "Folks, can you change my prediction to Donegal?" So, thank God for the changes.
Yes. I was the same when I seen the teams named. Now that said, obviously the sending off was, we were speaking to the two guys at a massive burnout, but I still think all in all we'd have won the match anyway, which is a brilliant victory. Mel, just from the minors there, very low scoring. The Derry keeper had a 2-pointer. That was a big kick in the game in terms of context.
It was a poor game, to be honest. Both teams were looked nervous. Carroll hit the nail on the head. Derry had a sort of a setup where Joey Mullen played as the sweeper, and Donegal were allowed to play the ball around the outside. Derry obviously identified Mark Anthony McGuinness as sort of the key man, and they put a designated man on him. And as much as Donegal had loads of possession, they couldn't penetrate really. And actually, the Donegal keeper, Cormac Crossan, made a couple of brilliant saves as well. But in the end, I think there was something like 11 minutes after it was 9-all. Donegal had a chance. I think it might have been Tadhg McDade. He just pulled it wide. There was a couple of messy enough turnovers from both sides. And at one stage, extra time looked like it was going to be the only show in town. And then Cathair McDonald scored the winner. Incidentally, a guy came off the bench for Derry, Rocco Devlin, and he was involved in all of Derry's last 4 points, so he had a major impact on the game. But toss of a coin job, it really was. It really was a toss of a coin.
Yeah, good stuff. So, Mal, just looking across the other action from the weekend, I suppose, first of all, RIP, Frank McGuigan, what a guy, what a legend, Mal.
Yeah, one of the best players to play the game, never mind one of the best players to play for Tyrone. I never met Frank, but obviously, all the stories you hear and you see the snippets on TV, and 11 points in an Ulster final is just awesome. And
yeah,
you often hear that thing that if he hadn't had his injury, you know, Tyrone arguably would have won the 86 All-Ireland. So our thoughts go with to his family and all his friends and everybody that knew him, but a massive, massive character, and what a player.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose it's kind of poignant. The Red Hands were down and beat Roscommon. Well, what did you make of the fair? There was a bit of a feeling, I suppose, this new wave of talent were always waiting to come through, and certainly, I suppose, Michael Holmes and Ethan Jordan and that really providing a bit of firepower for a thrown forward line that just, you know, they're well down the rankings in terms of average scoring. I think they're one of the lowest in the country, but they came up with the goods in three goals yesterday.
They played very well, Brenton. Now, you were at it. I watched it on the stream, so you don't have the same view, but they looked to be the better team, but Roscommon got that run where the long ball went in to end of Smith, and at that stage it was probably looking rocky enough for Tyrone, and they, I suppose, as much as Conor Carroll was brilliant, it probably came down to that missed kick out to Kieran Daly that decided it, and that'll do wonders for Tyrone, Brenton. Like, Dara Canavan and Rory Canavan weren't available, who, you know, were they're obviously key players in Malachy's overall plans. I would say they'll be hoping that Brian Kennedy's injury isn't too serious, because Brenton, with him and Kilpatrick at midfield, it's just a night and day. It's a wee bit like the three amigos coming into the Donegal team who were apparently injured. You know, Murphy, McGee, Langan. So in today's game, size matters. It really does. And those two men were massive for Tyrone. And kudos to Con Kilpatrick, because he plucked two very important kickouts after Kennedy went off. So that wasn't lost on me, because, you know, because he did have to step up.
Yeah, he did. You know, and Kilpatrick's just he's just a complete player, isn't he? You know, there was a couple of brilliant saves before that, probably, and you nearly forgive Carroll for that short kick. Well, not forgive him, but he had been proven a real thorn in terms of stopping shots. Tyrone's good at seven goals in the game.
They could have had, and the thing about see that risk that they talk about. I know it's an overused statement, but if you are playing that sort of game, like I think it might have been somebody in Down said this, that Ronan Burns was happy enough to do that, because for every kick out you got away that you scored off, you know, you're being productive. But it is risky, and I felt sorry for him, because his performance definitely didn't deserve that. It definitely didn't. He was, you know, he's probably heading towards man of the match material, him and Senan Lam, and obviously Owen McElhone was just absolutely class. And you touched on it, you probably nailed it early on there, the fact the young guns are, I suppose, stepping up, and he's a man we've been talking about for a while, Brenton.
Yeah. I mean, when you put that in the mix, if you have Dara Canavan now, I don't know what a player he is, Mal, but just it seems to be, the injuries just seem to be so constant with him. You know, I don't know, is it the way he plays, he moves, he seems to end up in big hits, and it's certainly obviously holding him back from being the player that we're expecting him to be. He's one of the best forwards in the country, but you know, if you put him in that forward line with Michael Holmes and Jordan going well, that's a serious forward line.
It is, surely. And Brenton, he obviously had a busy enough schedule with Errigal, and he was involved in the Sigerson Cup campaign, so possibly the bodies maybe said no in certain places, but Dara Canavan's one of them people you just love to watch playing, unless he's playing against you.
Yes.
And ironically, the minor final on Friday night, his cousin, I think he's Conan Canavan, will be playing at O'Donnell Park in that final, and he scored 10 points against Cavan. So the production line continues up around Errigal, so they're always able to produce gems. And is it any wonder Tyrone are always around the top?
Yeah, they are indeed. And do you know what, Mal, I was thinking, talking to my friends at Roscommon, this was a very dangerous game for them, because Tyrone was so written off, you know, because of their league. And we keep seeing that the league doesn't translate that much in the championship. So, you know, they went and they played Armagh, could have very, very easily won the game. They're in the All-Ireland semi last year. It's the same group of players. So, you know, they're a solid, you know, well put together team when you go to take them on. You know, difficult championship team to play in. I know they just about sealed the victory yesterday, but they're a team, Mal, that could turn anybody over.
Brent, is that the beauty of the game now? We can't predict anything. Like,
yeah.
Like, rewind the clock back 10 years, and I'm actually lost. I can't remember what years Dublin won the All-Ireland, because they just seem to beat Mayo every year and won it. Yeah. Whereas now, from 1 week to the next, like Donegal after, I suppose, injuries and after Letterkenny, you're wondering where are they, and all of a sudden they're back in a different part of the conversation. I think this is great, Brenton, for sport. I think it's brilliant because more and more teams are bound to think that they're not far away. And you did say it, like Roscommon had won the treble in Connacht. And at the same time, that doesn't mean their season's going to be a disappointing season. They have enough players to be in the shake-up for this All-Ireland. They'll look at a team like Armagh winning it a couple of years ago and thinking, you know what, we're every bit as good as Armagh. So I think it's fantastic for the game. It really is.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I think Tyrone could have a say in it yet. Mel, did you... You know, it was a straightforward, I think, victory for Galway. That was the only one kind of went that you thought you could be fairly predicting of what it could have been. Cork and Meath, there was going to be nothing in it. As it proved, Cork pulling away in the end. Donegal and Kerry, obviously question marks about the squad and the players sent off. But all in all, well, none of those games you could kind of predict, except for Galway. Kildare probably will out their depth in the actual Sam this year.
Aye, it's probably fair enough. And Kildare's seem to be one of those inconsistent teams where they seem to be sort of going between the Sam and the Tulton Cup. But like Rob Finnerty, 1-9 from play. The only mistake we made, Brenton's not having him in our fantasy team.
Yeah.
He's like one, I think it was 1-9, maybe a couple of 2-pointers. And like, I don't know what you think. Like, Galway's bound to be back in the other end of the shake-up. Like they just lost the Connacht final marginally. I know it doesn't work, I guess, but then Tyrone and Roscommon, there's not much in it. And all of a sudden, it's back to my point where it's pretty open. I did feel, we spoke earlier in the DL debate where we thought that sort of Kerry and Donegal were a wee bit ahead of the pack. And I'm not sure where that is now. Do Armagh get closer to that? Or have Donegal pushed away? It was funny hearing the Kerry men tipping these for Sam. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But you know, it was great to hear that they have the value of having a dog on the team. Mm. We used to think up here that the Kerry people didn't have dogs. They just had, you know, perfect footballers. So you don't win anything without dogs. I don't know how we get on to that topic, but
there,
like it
there
is,
always
it,
was
it,
a
it,
few. It, yeah, yeah. Listen, disruptor. He called them a disruptor.
Yeah, I like that one. We must remember that one.
Yeah, well, I think every team needs that in the engine room. You know, you need people that are going to go in and battle for it. That has to be part of the... Nothing happens without that, I suppose. Well, I was talking to you earlier today, just and that last free of Eastern Jordans, where it had just gone into the last minute, so there was, what, 57 seconds, I think, on the clock, which doesn't seem like a lot, but for if you have a kick-out, you could have worked that short up the pitch and maybe won a free, possibly hit a two-pointer to win it. So Ethan Jordan messes about in the ball, takes his time, takes a wee tap and kicks the ball over the bar. And I was thinking to myself, surely that's not right. Surely the ref has to say, here, stop the clock till he takes this free. Because if you're level in the game and it's going to be the winner or there's no chance to respond, then surely that's not, that shouldn't be allowed.
I think you're right, Brenton, but there's maybe another angle to it as well. Like, I don't know if you noticed in Clonus that day, even the scoreboard was slow at changing and the clock stopped a couple of times. And even on the GA Plus yesterday when I was watching it, it seemed to be stuck on 54 minutes for a while. So there's too much at stake for something like that to happen, Brendan.
Yeah.
I think if they do have the hitter, that whenever the hitter goes, it's until the ball goes dead. So say, for example, the hitter went at with 5 seconds to go, but Conor Carroll was doing really well with his kick-out. Say he had got one out to Brian Stack, for example, who was on, and the hitter went. We'll play that play out until Roscommon get a shot. And if it goes back to the situation in, was it 2021, where Derry had a possession near the end, and eventually the ref says, you know what, I've had enough of this, and he blew it up and Donegal won by a point. But I think if you're going down the hitter route, I think it'd be more exciting letting the last play go.
I think definitely the last play was very exciting because what it did was, well, it stopped teams messing about like Ethan Jordan. No, I'm not faulting him for that because, you know, he's trying to get his team across the line, but it's not fair in Roscommon, you know. So
and you're also... And if you're standing over, like, you walked that walk, Brenton. If you're standing over a last-minute kick that's fairly routine and it's level, you won't want to rush that kick, regardless of trying to waste time. there's only one thing in your head. It's making sure that you nail that kick because you might not win an extra time or whatever. So I do think that's the case. But back to my point, like if the hitter goes, it's on, the play should be allowed to play until it goes out of play. You know, the passage of play should be allowed to continue until it's away or somebody blocks it out over the sideline or whatever. I feel that would be better.
Yes. And do you know what? Before we even look at next week's games, ML, just on Galway there, you know, are they contenders or are they not? Where would you put them? Because when you look at Comer's come back and he looks sharp, you know, we didn't even know was he going to play this year. Walsh is flying, he said, Finnerty, unreal. You know, Conroy's back and I'd say that'll be his last year. So, big push going to come from Galway to get themselves back. And there are not many people talking about them.
They're not. I think they have to be in the... I definitely think they have to be in the conversation, Brenton. They've got size. They've got finishers. Possibly there's that whole debate versus which goalkeeper do they go with? Because it's not often you get a goalkeeper situation changing as much as that. Because I think it was Gleeson at the weekend, was it? Didn't see this game fully. Yeah, so there's Gleeson back in again. So, they have to be. And, like, they've been relatively successful. They've been to two finals. So they've been used to... And I think Joyce had a statistic. I forget what it is, Brenton, to be honest. But whatever games they've lost in recent times, I think it has been minimal, the scoreline. I don't know what the figure is, but to cut a long story short, they've been very close any game they've lost. So, you know, why not go and win it this year?
Yeah, well, listen, I think the Keane O'Neill thing is definitely a factor that he left and went to Kerry. It looks like he had a big influence there, Mel.
Aye, and then he's in, and Donoghue's down there as well. So that's definitely a loss for Joyce there. But like you've Shane Walsh is two-footed. You've Finnerty, who seems to be in really, really good form. And obviously, it's those other players like McDade and Tierney and John Maher and Keane and Darcy. Like, is there many teams will have that physicality of Darcy and Tierney around that middle? Yeah. And that's before you get into that fella, was he Roots, a guy came in and he caught a ball to get a goal in that Connacht final. So whatever they're feeding them, and it's back to that same point about size, where it's if you can get the big lean footballer, it's very, very useful.
Yeah, I think Maher, you could put them down as one of those disruptor guys. He's top man. Mel, just down the last couple of minutes, Mel, the weekend here, Dublin Louth, Westmeath, Cavan, Armagh, Derry, Mon and Mayo, fascinating games right across the board. You know, you know, obviously I don't think Dublin and Louth wanted to play each other game, but Westmeath and Cavan, that could be dangerous now for them. Cavan are at a bad side and there's a kick in them, and obviously Armagh, Derry, there's going to be a wee bit of war of attrition, and then Mayo don't really like playing Monaghan at times as well in championships, so it'll be amazing to see if they can, I suppose, back up that Ulster championship run.
Aye, because they put a lot of, there was a lot of emotion in that because of the nature of how they beat Derry an extra time twice and being in the final in the build-up, so it's how they can sort of mentally come back because they do have quality. Mayo probably up and down, and they're hard to work out. Dublin Louth, like, it's just a pity they're meeting again because I sort of thought Louth would have won the last game and they didn't. They get well enough beaten. They end up, from Derry's point of view, Derry's really inconsistent at the minute. There's a couple of decent league campaigns. Armagh seem to be on form, and they've won that Ulster title. And we've only got 2 minutes left in the show. It's not long enough to dig into Derry's depth issues because that has not went away. That's a debate I've been beating for a long time. So we just don't have the depth to compete at this level. And that's not trying to be, you know, talk things down. We just don't. But because it sort of proved it that day against Monaghan, where their bench had a wee bit more punch than we had. So, but again, maybe we'll cause a wee bit of a stir in Armagh, but I think it'll definitely need a big, big performance. Albeit we're pretty good for a while against Monaghan, and
well, Monaghan fairly put it up to Armagh. If you're looking at it that way, which obviously never adds up the same, but there's no reason why Derry can't go and win that
there's
match.
There's no reason. Like they were. I watched both games back recently, actually, for an article I was doing, and Derry were, it was one of those things where you think, how the hell did we lose this game because things are going so well? But maybe that'll be the bit where Kieran Mina and the men this week can look at it and think, well, here's a few games. But I think We don't have an awful lot of time, but I think if they're going to have to do anything with Armagh, they have to be able to tie down Oisin Connolly, which is easier, far easier said than done.
Tie him down would be the only thing you can do.
Tie him down. I says to Sean Casey's away on holidays this week. I says, take Connolly with you and maybe we'll have a chance. But also, Blaine Hughes' kickouts, Derry need to, back to Tim's word, disrupt. They need to disrupt that sort of, what was it?
A disrupt.
The high 90% rate that he had. And
well, my theme tune's going to disrupt you now. Hey, Mal, we're out of time this evening. Well, listen, as ever, as Michael McMullen, give the life. Mal, thanks for that wrap up, sir.
No problem, Brent. No problem.
Be in touch soon. That's Brendan and Michael McMullen. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. Thanks, Joe Dex, for producing. Speak to you next week.